and turn to 1 Peter. I thought last week was going to be the last in our series of striving together, but I told Ethan if he needed me to do one more, I'd do one more, so here I am doing one more. You want to shut those doors in the back?
I do.
Okay. So let's read 1 Peter chapter 4 and 12 through 16, then we'll have a short word of prayer. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Let's pray. Lord, we ask that you'd bless now our Bible study tonight, that you would speak to our hearts through your word and by your Holy Spirit. Thank you again for the opportunity, the privilege that you give us to gather here this evening, be with the teenagers downstairs and the young people, watch over them as the different lessons are taught. We pray that, Holy Spirit, you take the word of God and just instill these truths upon their hearts as well. And we pray especially for any that might be downstairs tonight that do not know you as their Savior. We pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit, you would open their understanding and cause them to acknowledge their sin and to receive Jesus as their Savior. Thank you again for the opportunity tonight. Help me as I bring this Bible lesson in Jesus' name. Amen. So the title tonight is Striving Through Difficulty. We all, at some point, at some time, are going to go through some type of difficulties. Now, I really think the context of what Peter is writing about here is difficulties that relate to just being a Christian and spreading the gospel and living in a culture that pushes back against the faith that we have in Christ. But I want to kind of use this, knowing that that is the primary context, but kind of use it as a launching pad to understand the difficulties do come in all different forms, all different sizes, and all different shapes. Whether it's the persecution that Peter's talking about here, or whether it's just different things that happen in life. Brother Jim Atherton was telling me tonight, you know, we've been praying for his arm, and they've done all that they can, you know, with the arm, when he broke his arm. And at this point, he has to decide, does he want to have surgery on the arm, or does he just want to live with the arm the way that it is? He tells me he doesn't have any pain. But I just thought, you didn't really have much pain when you broke the arm, did you? And a low tolerance of pain, I guess. But he is, or high tolerance of pain, I'm sorry. But so that's a decision he has to make. Now, whether it's difficult or not for him, I don't know. But I think he's just going to rest in the Lord and see, you know, which way the Lord wants him to go. But striving through difficulties, striving as a body of believers through difficulties. So on your handout, if you notice these couple of sentences, a writer that I read this week said this, difficulty is a fact of life. Most likely, you've just come through a difficult season, or you are in the midst of one, or you are headed toward one. And as a Christian, when you experience difficulty, you have the option of connecting with fellow believers or isolating yourself from them. And those are usually the two directions people head in. Either they connect with other believers or they isolate. And by the way, it is quite possible to come and sit in a congregation and still isolate yourself while you're going through difficulties and not reach out for help from a brother and sister in Christ. So we all go through difficulties. I don't care who you are. I can't think of anybody that I've ever met that went through life, maybe you have, but that went through life and never had any problems, never had any difficulties, never had any challenges, and just kind of hummed along through life, and then that was the end. Maybe you have, but I haven't. So different challenges come. And the idea is, well, what about you and me as a body of believers? So we'll come back here in just a minute, but take your Bibles and turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. By the way, as you turn, I had a great service today at the Adult Day Center. I thank the Lord for that. There are people at the Adult Day Center that have a lot of difficulties and have a lot of struggles that they deal with. So I'm glad that the Lord allows me there to go and try to be an encouragement to them. Hebrews chapter 10 and beginning in verse 22. So the Bible says, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. By the way, before I read this next verse, did you ever hear? This is actually called the salad scripture. You know why that is? The salad. Because each verse talks about lettuce. So, verse number 25. The Bible then goes on to say, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as ye see the day approaching. So you understand, as the writer of Hebrews writes all of this, and he's encouraging believers to come together just for a number of things. Because when we gather together with a true heart in verse 22, there's the assurance of our faith. Amen? There's the faith of other believers. There's the faith of all those that are around us. And in verse 23, it helps us to stay, to hold fast. We'll see that as we get into the Bible study tonight. The profession of faith that we have. It helps us from wavering to and fro and back and forth. It's a group that has come together to build one another up in the faith. And verse 24, by gathering together, by striving together through whatever difficulties we're going through, whatever we're dealing with, we provoke one another. We provoke one another in love. That's a good kind of provoking. We manifest a love for each other when we're struggling through a difficulty. Either we're going through the difficulty or we're the ones that are encouraging people going through the difficulty. So we take up these prayer requests at night. And by the way, Jane's niece that came, huh? I'm sorry?
Granddaughter.
What did I think of niece? But your niece. But she was the one we were praying for, wasn't she on the prayer list? Right. So anyhow, she's gone through a lot of difficulties. And so she came. The Lord drew her here. That's a result of a group of people getting together and praying together. In fact, I preached on Sunday morning about prayer, and they prayed for Peter. They didn't really have much faith while they were praying for Peter, and God rescued Peter out of prison. So that's what Hebrews is dealing with here. And reminding us in verse 25 not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. That's why I said some people sometimes they isolate themselves when difficulties come, and the other choice is to draw near to other people, to other brothers and sisters when difficulties come. But not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another so much the more as you see the day approaching. I believe the day approaching is talking about the return of Christ. And listen, just look around. The return of Christ draweth nigh. And as we look at the world in which we live and everything that's going on, everything kind of taking shape. And we see that in the world in which we live. But there, Hebrews is exhorting the gathering of people together. Now, go back to 1 Peter, and let me give you just a few things here on the handout tonight as we look at this text and again dealing with these difficulties. So Peter begins to write in verse 12 when he says this, beloved. So that's a beautiful word in and of itself, don't you think? Beloved, it just shows you Peter's feelings for his brothers and sisters in Christ. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you. So in other words, Peter says, listen, trials are going to come. Difficulties are going to come. Don't think that it's strange that they're coming. In fact, we should be expecting them. Amen? And when they happen in our lives, we shouldn't be, oh, but isn't that, though, the case sometimes with people who accept Jesus as their Savior and really things go well for them, and then all of a sudden something happens, a difficulty comes into their life, and they think, oh, God must have just forgotten about me, or God doesn't really care about me. I mean, there's actually, you can read one of the Psalms. It is possible for anyone to come to that point. David came to that point in his own life. And then he had to be reminded that God hadn't forgotten him. So he says, beloved, think it not strange, he says. It's not strange concerning trials that come your way. So notice this, point number one. Here's a question to ask ourselves with regards to difficulties. Are we living out God's plan for our lives? Are we living out God's plan for our lives? Peter, the first thing Peter said to Jesus many, many years before Peter writes this, when he met Peter, he was fishing. And I have on your handout Matthew 4:19. He says to Peter, Peter, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And so God had a plan for Peter's life, just as God has a plan for your life and for my life and all those that are around us. God has a plan. But that plan doesn't mean it's always going to be smooth sailing. In fact, if you're a fisherman or a fisher of fish, you're going to run into difficulties. But you're a fisher of men. We're to be fishers of men, Peter said. So there's a plan for your life that God has. And Peter would live his life and just think about Peter, the ups and the downs, the ins and the outs. There on Sunday I preached, he was in prison. There's a difficulty. And one thing after another after another. And so Peter walks with Jesus those 3 years, and he is fulfilling the plan for his life. And then, you remember, he denies the Lord 3 times. And then after the Lord's resurrection, he catches up with Peter at the end of the Gospel of John, which I have on here for you. And Peter is not really living out God's plan for his life. So there's something to think about. Peter walked with Jesus for 3 years, and he got away from the plan that God had for his life. And Jesus came to him, and as I have on your handout, he challenged him. And you remember, I don't have it on here, but this is the chapter where Jesus asks Peter 3 times, do you love me? And you remember, Peter says, yeah, of course I love you. And Peter says, Jesus says, then feed my sheep. And then he asks again, and then he asks again. And then he says, and the Bible says in verse 21, Peter seeing him saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? He's referring to John. Well, what about John? And Jesus said unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow me. So in other words, listen, Jesus had a plan for John's life. But Jesus had a plan for Peter's life. Peter just needed to worry about what was the plan for his life between him and the Lord. One of the things that when Peter writes here, he says, if we're going to suffer, he says, what does he say? And he said, not as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody in men's matters. Don't be so busybody about the other person. Just worry about God's plan for your life. And it may be either difficulties are coming or you're going to help people through those difficulties. But I think it's important that we regularly just stop and we ask the Lord in our private quiet time, or maybe through the preaching of God's word, or maybe in a Bible, Lord, am I living out your plan for my life? And I have two words here, just these two key thoughts, just for you to write them down, just to kind of help drive home this point. I'm not going to say much about them. But in order for you and I to ask that question, are we living out God's plan? God, am I living out your plan for my life? I mean, let me just stop there for a minute. That was a question I had to ask the Lord many, many years ago when I was really praying about and trying to discern the will of God with regards to being in business or being in the ministry. It wasn't just, I didn't wake up one day and decide, oh, I think I'll just... It took me a couple of years of real praying and listening to messages and letting God speak to my heart. And it was a struggle in some ways. But the first fill in the blank, just to help you to remember this, it's the word sensitivity. Learning to be sensitive to God. Sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. A sensitivity. I think when Peter went back to fishing, he really had lost his sensitivity to the will of God. And then the second word is the word serenity. Serenity. Because when we are living out God's plan, even when difficulties come, even in Peter's life, he was sensitive to the leading of the Lord, but there was a peace in his life. Where was Peter? Do you remember when he was in prison and really he was facing possible execution the next day in Sunday morning's message? Well, what was he doing that night in prison? What was he doing? He was asleep. How many of you, if you thought you were going to be executed the next day, would be sound asleep? Come on, let's be honest. Or Paul and Silas, you remember when they were in prison, what were they doing? They were singing hymns. Now that I might be doing, because I probably couldn't have slept. But he was asleep. There was a peace in Peter's life. It's a far different Peter than we see Peter in the Gospels when he's with Jesus. Peter had learned at that point that God had a plan for his life and that he just needed to be fulfilling that plan. So Jesus said this, he said at the bottom there of the page, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you should have tribulation. Be of good cheer, I've overcome the world." So difficulties come. God, of course, has given us the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, that the Comforter to give us that peace. He's given us the Scriptures to give us peace. But he's given us a local church, a group, a body of believers where we can gather together. And just as that body of believers was praying for Peter when he was in jail that night. So are we living out God's plan? But then secondly, are we living for God's purpose? Are we living for God's purpose? Look at verses 13 and 14. "But rejoice," Peter said, "inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings." Well, Peter learned that too. You remember when they were beaten? Remember they were arrested in the book of Acts? They were beaten and they were told not to preach the gospel any longer. And you know what they did? Oh, they rejoiced that they were beaten for Jesus. This is great. We suffered for Jesus. I don't think that's often the mindset, especially of modern day Christianity. We suffered for Jesus. And he goes on to say here, "But rejoice," verse 13, "inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad with exceeding joy. And if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he's evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified." So when we are trying to be sensitive to the plan of God for his life, then you can know for sure you're living out God's purpose. God's purpose is to bring glory to him wherever and whatever God's called you to do. Look at first. Go back in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter number 1, verse 6 and 7. "Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season if need be, You're in heaviness through manifold temptations, trials, difficulties that God puts people through. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. It's all part of the plan of God. We need to remember that. On your handout, Romans chapter 8. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. So two key thoughts to write down here too to help you kind of think about this. When we are living for God's purpose, it brings, the first blank is the word stability. It'll bring stability in your life. It doesn't matter when the difficulties come. We won't be tossed about like with every wind of doctrine, or we won't be like waves tossed to and fro in the sea. Difficulties come, and then there's stability when they come. We can ride out the difficulty because we know that the captain of our ship is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're living for His purpose. You know, if you're going to serve the Lord, you know. I just need to mention this. I don't think I need to convince this crowd that's here tonight. You know, if you're living for Jesus, that there's going to be spiritual opposition. You just know that. And it comes in all different forms. It comes in all different ways. But there's stability when you're living out God's purpose, being obedient to His Word. By the way, once you start being disobedient to His Word and you begin to drift away from that instead of stability, there's instability. And it catches up with us quick. But then the second fill in the blank there is not only is there stability, but then sensing that we're living for God's purpose, it brings security. Well, I'm doing what God wants me to do. I'm where God wants me to do. I'm who God wants me to be. I'm what God wants me to be. And then whatever happens, Romans 8:28. Let's just read that out loud together on the handout there. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Again, we're reminded it doesn't say that all things are good, but it says that all things work together for good. I was looking at the news, and boy, did you see the pictures of the Bahamas? Just devastated. And I don't think we've even seen the half of it yet. We're just seeing the initial pictures. It is just absolutely devastated. That hurricane parked right over the Bahamas for a long time. I think it was a Category 5 when it hit the Bahamas. I mean, just like a bullseye. And a lot of those people who live in the Bahamas are very poor. They live in really what we would call shanties. And forget about a hurricane blowing them over. A strong wind would blow some of those places over. So those people are going through tremendous difficulty. And there'll be an opportunity now for people to live out the plan God has for their life. I'm not only just talking about the people on the Bahamas, but I'm talking about people who now can help and fulfill God's purpose. I saw this today, too. There was a group from Oklahoma coming to the East Coast, a group of utility workers coming to the East Coast. They're all leaving Oklahoma to come and help. And before they left, they all gathered together, and there was a whole circle of them all in prayer. Yeah, that's because it's Oklahoma. it's like the buckle of the Bible Belt. Praise the Lord for that, though. But then all gathering together in prayer. What a beautiful sight. I doubt you'll see that on most news stations. There'll be some kind of a critical thing. But those men and women that are coming, that work the utility lines, even they have a plan and a purpose, you know, as they come. So we praise the Lord for that. So then lastly, we just ask ourselves, are we living out God's plan? And then are we living for God's purpose? Is this what God wants for me? Is this the best for me, my family, my marriage, my personal life? But then we're reminded, Peter reminds us too, that we are living under God's providence. The word providence, by the way, it's two words. It comes from the word pro, and it comes from the word video. Pro and the word video. Pro meaning beforehand, and obviously video meaning to view. So the providence of God is such that God governs the affairs of men, but your life and my life is really, I think it's in the Psalms, the psalmist says, like a tale that's been told. God already knows our tomorrow. He knows our next week. Isaiah, on your handout, said this, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. We got done not too long ago, the Sunday night series in the book of Daniel. Much of it was prophetic. The prophecies of Daniel, some of which have already been, they were prophesied, they've already been fulfilled, and others of which are yet to be fulfilled. And just so much of the prophecies, I think if I'm correct, I think close to 99% of all Bible prophecy has been fulfilled. And of course, that was the condition for a true biblical prophet, right? That he would be 100% accurate. If not, he was to be put to death. Well, why? Because God already knew. God already prophesied. He knew the time. He knows the place. He knows the when, the who's, the hows. The providence of God. So, well, Peter is suffering and Peter is dealing with things and he's trying to encourage other believers. Listen, difficult days come, difficult days are there, but God's aware of these things. God's not taken aback. He's not surprised. He's not, oh, what in the world is going on here? No, it doesn't work that way for God. And he says in verse 15 and 16, but let none of you suffer as a murderer, as a thief, as an evildoer, as a busybody in other men's matters. And he could have put all kinds of things in that list. Obviously, what he's saying is, listen, if you're going to suffer, you may be suffering, but if there's a good chance you're suffering because you're not living out God's plan for your life. There's a chance that you're suffering because you're not fulfilling God's purpose for your life. But if you suffer as a Christian, if you really sense that you are living out God's plan, you really sense that you are living out God's purpose, and you really do understand that God is a providential God. If you suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Why? Because as we've already read, when we suffer for Christ, what did Paul say? That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. When we suffer for the Lord, we're sensing that we're accomplishing God's purpose. We're sensing that we're doing the work of the Lord. We're sensing that God has told us in His Word that these things should be expected in life. And praise God for you and I. We don't really, not at least up until now, we don't really face the difficulties of imprisonment. We don't really face so much of, you know, what we find here in the Bible. But as I often remind you, there are many brothers and sisters in Christ throughout the world that do. And they're suffering for the glory of God. But the Lord says, rejoice. So the two fill in the blanks here. If we are living under God's providence, if we believe that, number one, it brings a surety to our lives. We're just sure that God's in control. Just as when they all prayed for Peter, and then Peter was released. That's the same word that's used there in Acts with regards to Peter. He was sure, there was a surety that God had done this, that God had freed him from jail. And then the second fill-in is safety, because there's no safer place to be than at the center of God's will. No safer place to be. Because you're where God wants you to be. So when you know you're where God wants you to be, that's His plan, doing what He wants you to do, that's His purpose, you can rest assured that He is very much in control of all that is going on around you, and that's His providence. He's in control. He's in control. Striving together through difficulty. He brings all that together. We're going to go through difficulty. He's given us the Holy Spirit to help us. He's given us His Word to help us. He's also given us brothers and sisters in Christ striving through these things together. You think probably in the Bahamas there are a lot of people working together trying to just survive and all that's taking place there. So that's our Bible study for tonight. Let's have a short word of prayer and then you can pray. Lord, we ask Your blessing on our prayer time. Might it be meaningful as we approach the throne of grace. Thank You for Your goodness, mercy, and grace. In Jesus' name, amen.